The book of Hebrews for a short bit tonight, and then I want to share with you tonight that we're going to be, my topic is a little bit different tonight, but I want to share with you that Jesus Christ, first of all, is the only way. As we read in Hebrews, we're going to see that he is superior to all things and all ones. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, we'll start there. For which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I've become your father"? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And speaking of the angels, he says, "And he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire." But about the son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." And he also says in the beginning, "O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same. And your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" There is a piece here. There is a problem sometimes. Well, there's a problem with us in how we, some people believe that, how I want to say it that way, there are some people that try to worship angels as angels are, Jesus and Lucifer are not brothers. There is some people out there that believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. They're not. Some people believe that they just believe in angels in the wrong way. And some people have worshipped them. I want to tell you today, our Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the one. He is the only one. I want to remind you today that he has been with you and he has been with me if you are saved every day of your life. He's been through the dark times and the good times and your pains and sufferings. Through loss and gains and children's and your children's births. Through family's death and loneliness and sadness. Jesus Christ has been there through your losses and your victories. He's been there through your marriage, thick and thin. Good and bad. Even through breakups. Jesus Christ has been through with you through your setbacks, your growth, and your gains. He's been there with the slow times and the fast times. Jesus Christ been through your good times and your healthy times, your heartbreak, your sickness. He's been through your happy times and your blessed times. And I say, ladies, Jesus Christ will be with you always to the very end. And then the end is not the end. It's just truly the beginning. But I want to share with you today, I say that because I don't want you to take your eyes off of Jesus, but I want to put our eyes on something. I've never done a service like this. So I want you to put your eyes a little bit on what's going on in the world today and what's going on in your world. I want to tell you there is a creation that God had created, and he had created these angels to be a part and to serve. And we're going to go over some things here about these angels, but I want to tell you that the angels are to serve. The angels are God's being. It's God's creation. Now, there were some angels that wanted to rebel against God and rebel against God's system. They did not like what they had. So they decided to do something different, and they rebelled against God. And so we see now that they are what we call fallen angels. They are not the angels that are here to help, but they are the demonic side. They are the ones that are now not helping human beings, but they are here to devise evil plans and satanic plans to work against God's people. We see angels being what I want to focus on tonight. Angels we see their existence all the way from the very, very beginning in the book of Genesis, all the way through the very, very end of Revelations. You see, there were some times, there were certain people that when Jesus was walking on the earth in the temple, there were the people that were called priests, Sadducees, Pharisees. There were different people that had different types of titles. Those that were the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and they did not believe in angels and those kinds of things. But we do know, if you know your Bible, we do see Jesus when he's walking on the face of the earth, that when he starts in his ministry, we see a lot of people running up to him that are filled with the demonic. We see that there's a big turn in what's going on there. We also see in the Old Testament that God's angels did a lot of work and would visit many of the prophets and speak what God had for them. But I want to share with you tonight a little bit about who the angels are. I want you to make sure that we do not put them on a pedestal where we do not need to put them on a pedestal. We do not even need to put them in a place where they do not need to be at that place, because there is a setback that we can have as putting them on a place, on a platter per se, or on a lifting them up in an area where we should not lift them up. Listen, the only name that needs to be lifted up is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that died for you. He's the one that came, and he said he would never leave you, never forsake you. The Father says, I love you so much that I gave my only son, not my only angel, not one of my angels, but my only son, Jesus Christ. That if you reach out to him and you ask him in, then you have eternal life. There's only one name under heaven that which you be called, that you be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one name that we should not be ashamed of. We shouldn't be ashamed of many, but the name we should not be ashamed of, because it is the gospel, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the salvation. He is the gift to the world, for we are all lost sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. We need salvation. Amen? So I pray that I'm speaking to a full house of believers. If not, I pray that the Lord will use this to reach into you, to show you that he does exist. Today I was teaching in class, a group in New Haven today, and someone had some, I thought he was the first time in my group, but it was the second time he was there, but this time he spoke up. And on his arms, and I'm not going to be chastising tattoos, I have my own beliefs on tattoos, I don't like them, but if you have them, it's okay, it's whatever you desire. But he had tattoos, and I noticed his arm, and I said, man, I know that face. And it was one of the gods of Egypt. And it was their god of death. And I asked him, I said, so do you believe in that? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, okay, what's that tattoo under there? Well, I believe in that one too. Well, what was that? No, that's ISIS. Okay, what about this one over here? Well, this one here is a Christian one. So he was all over the place with his tattoos. He was all over the place in what he believed in. I want to tell you, we need to believe in what God's word tells us to believe in. No book trumps God's word. There's books that help us understand God's word, but we need to focus on God's word. No book can speak to you like God's word, because God's word is the living word of God. No book is going to speak to you in the way that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So stick to God's word. I've seen people and Christians getting into trouble listening to end time stuff, trying to focus on those kind of things. Listen, today is the day of salvation. We need to be reminded that there's a resurrection. Jesus is coming soon. We need to learn and study that from time to time. But we need to be about today and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to share some things with you on the overhead today. I want to share with you about angels. And so I want this to be an education piece. It's not so much a preaching piece tonight, but I want it to be an educational piece for you tonight about the things about angels. So he's going to put this up here. So there are angels among us. In the 90s, they had all these kind of shows about these angels, and people would get them to a part where they began to kind of almost like worship them, put them above Jesus, put them above God. That's not what we do. But there are angels that are among us, okay? So I want to go through, I think I've got a few here I want us to go through, and I'll jump on some other things as well. So when I do that, Alan, that means hit the next one, okay? So okay, so there are a lot of angels, okay? What we're going to use tonight is we're going to use the Word of God, because I told you that that's what we need to. So then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. So we know that in the book of Revelation, it tells us there are thousands upon thousands of angels. Now, I want to take a flip side of that for a moment. If there are thousands and thousands of angels, then we know a third of those angels, not those angels, but there was a third of the angels that chose to rebel against God. Those are the ones that went with Satan. So I want to ask you a question to think about it. In your mind, where are those demonic fallen angels today? We know that some scripture says that they are chained till the day of judgment, that they are in the pit, that they are in Hades, because whatever they did, it must have been pretty vile, and God has them chained for the day of judgment, the judgment day. Okay, so but there are many fallen angels that are roaming around upon the earth today. Okay, angels watched God create the earth. Now, we see this in Job 38, because sometimes people will look at this and say, I can find that in Genesis, but that's why we need the whole word of God. God will speak in different places like Isaiah and Ezekiel about the fall of Satan. Angels watch God create the earth. So this is in Job chapter 38. Where were you when I laid the foundation? He's talking. This is God talking to Job. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So we know that there, when God created all of this, we know that the angels were here. Okay, so we are not before angels. Angels were created before us. Okay? All right? We will be like angels. These are not in any specific order. I didn't have the time to put them in chronological order or any of that. But these are things that we're just going to understand tonight. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. It says they will be like the angels in heaven. We are not going to be angels, but the Bible says that we're going to be like angels. This is how powerful the Word of God is telling us. We need to understand that. This is in the book of Matthew. And so we know who this is speaking. This is Jesus speaking. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor given in marriage. They tried to trick Jesus into some things there. And he uses this. And he says they will be like angels in heaven. So we will be like angels in heaven. We won't be angels, but we'll be like them. And the Bible tells us. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us. Okay? So we study the Word of God, but we miss some of the awesome things that are going on in the world today and in our future. Next one. Sometimes we entertain angels. Sometimes we do that. He says, be not forgetful to entertain angels. For thereby some of you have entertained angels unawares. So sometimes you don't know when a visitor comes into a church or into a worship place or whatever it may be, lifting up the name of Jesus, and a visitor comes. Sometimes you just think it's a visitor. Sometimes it's not a visitor. Because why? Because sometimes they come in human form. Sometimes they will come in different ways. Sometimes we won't see them, but sometimes they do come in human form. We see that. How do we know that? Because we've seen that throughout scriptures. That where people will come, well, angels will come in human form. And because they'll come, he come in like a man. Gideon would see an angel. And we saw all kinds of different people that would see them. And so sometimes what people will claim to see those, and I'll tell you this, you just need to let some of those stories go in one ear and out the other, because here it is. That's their testimony, not yours. You may glean off of it a little bit, but remember, don't go too far off into those things. Stay on the Word of God. But I want to tell you, there are times when the church may only have 15 people, and there are angels in the midst, and they are being entertained, because it is amazing, because I always thought about how are we entertaining them. It's not because we have great music. Not against you, Ashley. In the world. I'm talking about in the world, because listen, there is nobody that can sing as awesome as the angels in heaven. I'm sorry, there's nobody. There's nobody that can play those music instruments like those in heaven. The saffron fly with three sets of wings and flowing around with one set covering their eyes, the other is the feet, and the other is flapping around, and they continue to sing holy, 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 and that, nothing is awesome as that. And the best get into the house of God. So I just want to tell you, if we are entertaining them, what I believe as we entertain them is, it's not that we are so good, it's that we have not seen Jesus, we have not seen God, but we believe Him, and we sing out of faith. That we sing out of our spirit, out of our heart. And they're saying, because they've seen God. They've seen Jesus. They've been around for thousands of years. They know. They have crossed the land of Canaan before and after. They've been there many, many times all across the world. And they're in their provinces and places. And they've seen men come and men come. Dynasties rise and dynasties fall. Wars come and wars go away. But one thing that they would tell you, that God is still on the throne. That every prophetic piece that God has given to them to give to man has come true. And there's a people that would worship Jesus Christ, and then they would become entertained on seeing people that would do this that has not been around as long as them. It's amazing the relationship that God has with us. Jesus is in charge of the angels. That is very important. Jesus is in charge of the angels. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. So the angels are in submission to Jesus Christ. How did that happen? Because God gave Him the authority. The Father gave Him the authority. So who is in charge of everything? Who's actually in charge of all the things? Jesus Christ. And the angels serve. So the angels are there with him, but they are under his submission. That is very, very important. I think the angels see what happened when an angel decides to go rogue and goes against God. I think they've seen what happens to them. Then the angel said, angels are not to be worshipped. There are times when throughout scriptures when we see men would fall down because the sight is so awesome. It's not fleshly. It's something that doesn't, it's not in the physical or the sense of the world, but it would be something totally, totally just amazing. And so it says, then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet. John says, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, so the angel said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. He's saying, don't worship me. I am a servant just like you. I serve in one way, you serve in another, but we serve Jesus together. And so he says, worship God. So this is, they're in tune with God, and they're teaching man to be in tune with God, but angels are not to be worshipped. Amen? Now there's some people out there that do this, and it's not a good thing, okay? It's not a good thing. All right. Angels have free will. Now, some people would argue with that, but then again, it says, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for the judgment of the great day, on that great day. We see that in Jude. So we see the angels, some angels chose to rebel against God, rebel against the things, so that out of their will, they went and they followed Lucifer, when he said, in Isaiah, where he said, Isaiah, where God says, you wanted to be God. You wanted to have a throne higher than me. That's not going to happen. So we see the fall of Lucifer, and he just didn't fall on his own, but he tried a rebellion into the kingdom, and he took a third of the angels. And you can see that in Revelation chapter 12. All right, we know of three names. Now, some of you, this is a little, we're going to stretch for just a moment. You can check it out yourself. But we know of three angels' names in God's Word. There is a fourth. Some people believe in, and it can go either way. We'll get there. Michael. Michael is an archangel. Michael helps other angels. We see that through Daniel. We see that in the book of Daniel. Let's go there for a minute because I could not put all the scriptures on there. So if we go to the book of Daniel, Daniel had some dreams. God is doing some things with him. This is after Daniel in the lion's den. And so we see some things here that's going on. There's a dream and there's some things that were going on. And Daniel has a vision of those kind of things. And we look here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Let me pick it up in verse 12. So the angel had come. And he says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. That means his prayer was heard, and I have come into response to them. But the prince of Persia, kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, which is the archangel, came to me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So we see that there's a piece there that Michael is will come to the aid of others, and we see here. If you read earlier or later, you'll see that this angel that is talking here with Daniel is the angel named Gabriel, which is the next one. Gabriel is the next one. Gabriel is a messenger. He gave a message to Mary that she was going to bear forth a son, and his name was going to be Emmanuel. Jesus means God with us. We also see that Gabriel gave a message to Elizabeth, and that was going to be John the Baptist. You're going to have a son. He's going to be named John. That ended up being John the Baptist. We also see that he is the one that comes. You can find that through scripture, that he is the one that came to Daniel. And we see that they are different in some sense. They are different. And there is also sometimes there is confrontation between the angels, those who have fallen and those stand their ground with God. So those are the angels that still continue to work with God, and those who rebel, there is confrontation with them. And then there is Lucifer. Lucifer is the one we call the devil. He is called Satan. He is not to be we should not be afraid of him. But we know that he has power, and one of the things is he loves to do is to get you to be afraid. But the Bible tells us that for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So that's that fear comes not from God, but it comes from the evil one. So Satan wants to continue to let us be afraid of things, because when we are afraid, we become powerless. Right? We become powerless. And our power doesn't come from the flesh. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. So we see Lucifer. He is called the father of lies. He is a liar. Okay? Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And he's really good at what he does. Because if he's messing with you in your life, you're not the first person he's messed with. He's been messing with people since day one of Adam and Eve. He knows how to mess with marriage couples. He knows how to mess with individuals that are single. He knows how to mess with women. He knows how to mess with ladies. He knows how to taunt all kinds of people and tempt all kinds of people. And he does that, and he does it very well. That's why we need to make sure that we are saved, that we have Jesus Christ in our heart, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because we can't do life right without Jesus Christ. These angels are here to help us and to minister us. We'll see that in a moment. And then there is one, there's a possible one. It depends on how you want to interpret it. It's a bad one. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Because we know that Satan right now is not in the bottomless pit. He is not in the bottomless pit. Okay? He is roaming around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He cannot be in two places at one time. He can only be in one place at a time. Angels cannot be. They're not omnipresent. They are not all knowing. They are not all knowing. God is the one that is all knowing. He can be everywhere and allwheres. Only God can do those things. And then it says, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, which is in Revelation chapter 9. So there is one there that some people differ over, and those are the ones that we see in God's Word. And then we see angels are in charge of separating the saved and the lost. A lot of people did not know this. Maybe you did not know this, but tonight you will know this. It isn't that Jesus comes down and separates. It's that they already know. So here it is. He answered, the one who sowed. Okay, this is where he's talking about the parable, the four soils. He says, he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. Where am I at? Okay, the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. The angels have specific jobs. God gives them specific jobs. They do the job that God's called them to do. And they are going to be the harvesters. Saved, unsaved. Saved, unsaved. Saved, unsaved. And in the end, no man can change his mind. No woman can change his mind. It is set. People have lived their life. They have made their choice. There's no going back. There's no, give me an extra shot. Give me another chance. Give me a redo. Give me a rebirth. No, you can't do that. Once this harvest begins, listen, folks, it begins. It begins. You know, it's amazing. You can read and study all these gods and idols throughout the world. None of them has a plan like God. God has a beginning when he talks about man, and he has an end. But the end doesn't stop here on the earth. It's eternal. No one else can even fathom that. No other writers of these false gods and idols could even fathom the things that God has put in his word. They pick one thing and they camp on it. This is the God of death. This is the God of fertility. This is the God of happiness. This is the God of peace. The world can't even stretch their mind. They can't. And God's got it all covered, from the four corners to all, everything, up, down, sideways. He's got it all covered. Angels are in charge of separating the saved from the lost. And how's he going to know that? How are they going to know that you're saved? You're not. They're going to know because they know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, that you are. They're just going to know. Next one. Angels fly. You think, well, that's an easy one. No, they do fly. Because why? It's not because we think so. It's because God's Word tells us. Now I'm going to tell you that I've chosen these scriptures, but there's so many more scriptures, but I just couldn't stay on one spot for too long. Then I saw another angel flying in midair. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You know, today people would say, oh, I see a flying saucer flying. People see, I see lights. You not think that God sometimes, when things are allowed, they cross over? You know, if God opened our eyes right now and we can see right now what was going on, I don't know how many angels would be here, but also don't know how many demons would be here. We think because we're human that we are so smart. We're dumb. Devil wants us to keep us in the dark. You can't believe it because you can't see it. Now you can only believe it if you see it. If you see it, then that's proof that it exists. But we turn around and we see this. I saw another angel flying in midair. Someone once said, all those lights that people see, people think they're aliens. People say, you think there's aliens, and you think that there's a Bigfoot. You think that there's a Loch Ness Monster. We get all like excited about these mysteries of life. And the coolest thing that's going on is the things we don't talk about. How can it be that God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me? How can it be that wherever I go, no matter what, when I'm doing great, I feel God's joy on me. But when I'm thinking about ready to fall into sin, I feel the pressure of the Holy Spirit telling me, no, don't do it. There's more going on around you than you can even fathom. People once have said, maybe some of those lights are just the angels flying back and forth to heaven. Flying back and forth in the business that God has for them, because they are about God's business. You know why? Because they know the time is short. Could you imagine? They know the time is short, and they're about the business. And it says, and then I saw an angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim those who live on the earth to every nation, tribe, language, and people. But Daniel says this, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. That's awesome. I don't know if you get that, but that is awesome. God allows a man to see one of his angels, and he knew his name. Could you imagine? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Angels fly because they got business. Angels celebrate salvation. You know what I think about when I see this here, I read this, and I'm always like really stunned about this. It says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So I want to tell you tonight that I got saved when I was 12. You know what's awesome about that? And whenever you got saved, that your name was mentioned in heaven. A place so far, I don't know where, how far it is. But your name was mentioned in heaven, and the angels saw that and heard that, and they rejoiced and they were overjoyed in us coming to Christ. Supposed to turn from our sins, even though they know that we are still broken, but we are being mended by the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiven, and we become children of God. And so they rejoice over that. But when people get saved, and we question, did they really get saved? We question, really, has that person got another motive? So we challenge people's choice for salvation, but in heaven, they rejoice. I think that's an awesome piece. I think that's beautiful. You are so important to God. You are so loved by God today. He knows everything about you. He's been with you on your worst nightmare day. And you know, sometimes he doesn't rescue us on that bad day. Because he uses it as discipline sometimes, or he uses it to wake us up, but he never left you. He's been with you through all things. And you're so important that sometimes he puts angels to move in the midst of your life because you need one. You need one. Because you don't see what's coming around the corner. You don't see what's happening. I want to share, do I have another one? Angels minister to believers. Great. Is that the last one? Huh? Okay. Angels minister to believers. I love this. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Basically it says, are not all angels here serving those who know Jesus Christ? There was a time in my life when I felt like I just wanted to quit. I wasn't pastoring at the time. It was before God called me to pastor, to preach. We were financially in trouble. I was not doing very well money-wise. We had our boys were very, very young. We were on Sandpoint Road, if you guys remember that. I couldn't make rent half the time. We were behind on paychecks. I had some issues there. I had some problems, and everything was costing money. And I'm driving down Ardmore Road, and then a rock flies off of a dump truck. It's pouring down rain, and a rock shoots off, and it just hits the windshield, and it cracks all the way across the windshield. I go and I take a bunch. I was working with youth here in town, and I took a bunch of youth to a place over in, I think it was Cedar Point. Had a breakdown on the way back, and I got there, and then I looked at my car, and there was a softball in the back in my windshield, and my windshield was busted off. I'm driving down the road on Ardmore again, down there on Smith Road, coming home, and it began to rain, and I just threw I had my truck, I had a green truck, I threw my hands up in the air and said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done, God, I'm done. This isn't working for me, I'm done. I pulled over, and I don't know if y'all know, there's a place there's a place with a big old rock, they painted into a frog, some of y'all know. Some of y'all did some things there shouldn't do, because it was kind of that hangout young people place, but I pulled in there. It was raining so hard. I pulled in there, and I took my little New Testament Bible, and I shook it at God. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but I shook it at God angrily and out of desperation, and I just shook it, and I said, and it was so dark outside, I just shook it and said, where are you? Where are you? I can't find you. You're not doing anything. I just don't get it. Where are you? And I just opened it up and said, you tell me where you're at. And through that storm, I looked at my Bible and it landed on Luke chapter 12. And it was though I, for the first time in my life, I did not know what to do except read God's word. For it was so dark outside, my headlights had to be on, but I had turned them off in the rain. And when I sit there and I looked at God's word, it was though there was a square flashlight in the shape of a square that outlined scripture that was just so bright I could just barely read the words. It said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what your body and what you will wear. Life is more important than food and the body more than clothes. And I sat there, and then it went out, and then I could barely see the Bible. I said, oh my goodness. And I knew that God had done something, and I dared not look over my shoulder. So I continued to read it, and I said, Lord, you got another word for me. You got another word for me. And I kept reading the rest of it, and I kept reading it, and then it did it again, and it outlined another scripture in a perfect form of that scripture. And it's just a perfect square. Not a perfect square, but if you go this way, and you know how your Bible is, a little bit more, and it would go like that. It was exactly. It did not shine on any other verse. And it said, but first seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And they will be given to you. And I shut that Bible, and I said, I could feel the presence over my shoulder, that it was a good presence, and I knew that God had put an angel over my shoulder in that room, in that truck, when I wanted to shake. I was shaking the Bible and saying, God, where are you? You see, I want to tell you something. God sees you in your desperation. But it's not that he sees you in your desperation. It's that who are you going to call out in your desperation? I thought of no one. I did not go to my wife. I went to the God, my Creator, my Savior. And I was angry at life, angry at those things in my life. So I shook it at my God. But my God loved me more. Oh, he loved me more than my anger. And he did not chastise me for the anger because I was seeking the Father. I was upset with life. And so I did repent of my anger. But I was rejoiced that God found me in the wilderness in a storm and outlined three scriptures for me. For me, just for me in the moment of my need. Angels are real. But that's my testimony. You hear my testimony, you believe it as you see fit. Across the street, there was a time when we went through some hard times across the street. There was a moment when my wife didn't think she was doing a very good job at the music. She had told me that. I don't think nobody wants to sing. And I sat there and I thought my preaching was worthless. I was bouncing words off the walls and nobody was listening. And it just seemed like things were sinking. And I looked up, and there was a little man and a little old lady that were sitting on the right-hand side in the front of the second pew. And they were clapping. And I was like, I saw Carla singing, and they began to clap, and it caused other people to clap. We haven't heard clapping in the church in a long time. They raised their little hands once in a while. And through preaching, he said, amen, a couple of times. Only one that would say it. And I said, man, I want to find these people. They're believers. I need to make sure that they become members of this church. So I called somebody on the prayer, and I went to the door where I knew that they were going to exit out. Hey, and they said, amen, and I was there. They came to the door, and I never met them, and I didn't catch it at first. And they said, Pastor Jimmy, you're doing a fine job here. I want you to tell Carla that she's doing good in the worship. You all keep it up. You all keep it up. God is happy. And I was like, okay, great. Where y'all from? Oh, we're from the south. We're not in the south. We're just from the south. And then somebody butted in. You know how it is sometimes when you're shaking hands with somebody and somebody butts in. Hey, give me on the, hey, pastor, I was like, get out of here, get out of here. But I want to be nice and be the nice pastor, so I shook hands and I turned and they stepped out the door and I said, hold on a second. And when the door shut, I opened the door and they were not there. And it hit me when I turned around. God, the Holy Spirit says, don't even think about it. My angels visited New Life Fellowship today. And all my depressive stuff just went away. Still had problems in the church, but man, what is it? The angels come to minister. Sometimes you entertain them unaware. So I know for a fact that God has sent angels in my lifetime. But also know Lucifer has visited as well. But we want to talk about him tonight. We're talking about God's angels tonight. I want to tell you something. God's been good to us. God has been good to this church. God has been good to me. And I bet he's been good to you. Is there another one? Okay. Angels protect believers. Some of you may have your own testimony on this. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. You know what that means. He's going to the lion's den. My God sent his angel. Oh, I love that. My God has sent his angel. And he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I have found innocent. I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. And God sent an angel to protect Daniel in the lion's den. I love it. I love it. The next one. Angels minister to us at death. The time came when the beggar died, and Jesus is telling a story after the. He says this: the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In the next, very next verse, it said, "In Hades, da 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 da." But the angels took this poor man, this beggar, and he escorted him to Abraham's side. Let me tell you something. When you breathe your last, I watched my dad die. I was there when my daddy died. And I sat there, and everybody left, and I was in my vehicle by myself, and I sat out in the parking lot because I wanted to see the casket go to the vehicle, and I prayed as he left the property. And as I was watching him leave the property, a Holy Spirit just came up on me and said, that's just his body, Jimmy. He's already in the presence of God. Angels escorted him. No hearse, no ambulance, but God's angels have already escorted him into the presence of Jesus Christ. God's got our back. God's got us taken care of. He loves us so much. He wants this one thing. He wants us to trust him and try to love him the best that we can. Is that the last one? So there are angels amongst us, not to be worshipped, but to know that they are the right hand and the left hand of God, of Jesus Christ, doing their works for them. We are in safe hands. God knows all things. We are okay because God is on the throne. Jesus sits at his right interceding for you and I, and everything is okay. Everything is okay. But we have a mission ourselves to do, and that is to live right before God. To repent from our sins and to repent and to walk away from our sinful lifestyle and to walk toward Jesus. And as we do that, God begins, I believe, to put us in camp his angels around us and protect us. And then once, because we see this, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, we know this, that when you are righteous and you're living right, you are one of the most powerful human beings on the face of the earth, because it says your prayers in the book of James, that your prayers are powerful. Satan doesn't want you to understand, but when you pray, that means there's power behind your prayer because you are a righteous individual. It doesn't make you perfect, but you are serving a perfect God and you understand that. Yeah. It's not to be cocky, but it's just to know Satan doesn't mess with you unless you get yourself in a mess because you went into the sinful wilderness, or God's allowing something to happen in your life to either discipline us, or that something just needs to happen because bad things happen to good people, and it's just part of life, but God uses that for his glory. So not only do we see that we are the righteous are powerful, that our prayers are powerful, but we also see that God puts hedges around individuals. We see that in the book of Job. And Satan was upset because he said, you put a hedge around Job, the servant. He said, why do you look at my servant? He's righteous. There's no one like him. He's righteous on the earth. He says, you put a protective hedge around him. What does that tell you? That tells you and I that Satan is trying to get in, but God put a protective hedge around him. I believe in my life that God has put a protective hedge around me. Not because I'm somebody special, but because Jesus is special. Not because I have all power, but the Holy Spirit has all power. And when you know who has it and where it's coming from, that makes you powerful. I'm really not powerful. It's who's inside of me. And I let him have control of my life. Is there times I fail God? Oh, he'd be the first one to say, just like my dad. Oh, shake that head from time to time. But he loves me enough not to leave me there. And the Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. And if he loves you tonight, he's going to discipline you. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? It's not about us getting. It's not about us asking God to get on our plan. It's about us saying, Lord, how can I get on your plan? And God is an amazing God. And tonight we're going to open up the altar. We're going to move up the altars for a few minutes, and then we're going to do communion because it's just right to do that tonight. We had a plan, but I think it's just right to do that tonight. But right now we're just going to have a moment. If you want to come up and pray tonight for whatever it is, listen, there were times when my life wasn't right with God, but I was a Christian. But you know, I knew something that I needed to do. There were times in my life when I would walk up to an individual and during church service, and they have this time called the altar call. I would do this. I would sit there and say, Lord, I'm a mess. I think my prayers are not that powerful. But I know this guy across the church. I know this guy three pews in front of me. Man, I know he's walking with the Lord, and I know his prayers are powerful. I'll go to these guys sometimes. I would go to them because I knew when they was praying, there was power in their prayer. So sometime, maybe tonight, maybe, and this is not planned, but maybe tonight you need to say, you know what? I feel like my prayers are bouncing all over the place. I need to ask somebody to pray with me or just pray for me or just be with me during the time of my prayer. Because I know tonight we're not all walking in the way that God wants us to. But let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I don't want to dwell on this time except for right now. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and pray tonight.